Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life, this world has been defined by its concepts of good and evil instead of the righteousness of God. The good that this world knows is in relationship to the evil it knows. The righteousness of God is something that, along with the kingdom of God, we are told to seek first. And that tells us the righteousness of God is mostly unknown in this world. Living in this world that knows good and evil, it should come as no surprise when we encounter good and when we encounter evil. Evil comes in many shapes, sizes, and forms, and just as the tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we should come to expect evil in close proximity to good. Sometimes evil subdues good, and sometimes good subdues evil, but good and evil are all around us. Having the Holy Spirit, we might be amused by people who think a carved idol would have any magical powers. Inanimate objects are merely inanimate objects and do not contain good or evil within themselves. It is the heart of people that has the capacity for both good and evil. And what we see as good and what we see as evil is the result of what people do. Some people seem to live a life aligned to what is good, and others seem to live their life aligned to what is evil. Imagine being called by God and living in a country that seems to mostly have abandoned any understanding of God. While that thought might be reflective of where we find ourselves today, throughout history, the people of God have also frequently found themselves living in a country that seemed to mostly have abandoned any understanding of God, including within Israel and Judah. Elijah the prophet found himself in that situation, and because he was a prophet, he had to fulfill specific assignments from God, and one of those assignments was to present himself in the middle of a famine to the king who had abandoned God as he was influenced by his wife. Instead of worshiping the God of Israel, Ahab found himself worshiping Baal, as Jezebel's wife had gone to great lengths to kill those loyal to God. A household servant of Ahab, Obadiah, hid 100 prophets in 2 separate caves and took time to get food and water to them. Eventually, Ahab had Obadiah searching for additional sources of water and grasses to give to the horses. It was during one of these treks that Obadiah connected with Elijah. 1 Kings 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto all the fountains of water, and unto all the brooks. Peradventure we might find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, Art thou that, my lord Elijah? Elijah told Obadiah to tell Ahab that he could be found at this location. And this caused concern for Obadiah, who saw delivering the message as being a death sentence. He knew Ahab had been looking everywhere for Elijah, and his concern was that as soon as he announced Elijah's location to Ahab, that God would move him to another place. Elijah assured him he would meet Ahab. When Ahab came, he accused Elijah of being a troublemaker, and Elijah replied that Ahab and Ahab's family was the source of Israel's troubles. Verse 8. And he answered him, I am, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hands of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee thither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord, prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Elijah then proposed a spiritual challenge to Ahab, where the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves would team up against Elijah. When they were all gathered together on Mount Carmel, Elijah challenged the people, asking them why they were spiritually between God and Baal. He told them they needed to choose one and follow either God or Baal. He proposed an offering challenge. Each side would offer an offering, with Elijah offering to God and the prophets offering to Baal. They each would implore for divine intervention to set fire to their offering. The prophets of Baal went immediately to work and prepared their offering and cried out to Baal all morning long, to the point where Elijah urged them to scream louder because Baal might be sleeping. Even when the prophets cut themselves to shed their own blood, there was no response from Baal, and this went on till near the time of the evening sacrifice. Elijah, up to this point, had done nothing to prepare his offering. And then he built the altar on a foundation of 12 stones, one for each of the tribes of Israel. The bullock was placed on the altar, and then Elijah did something unexpected. He asked people who were there to fill 4 barrels of water to drench the bullock and altar. That was repeated 3 times. A trench was built around the altar, and that was filled with water. If the offering was going to burn, Elijah wanted to be clear to all that a miracle of God brought this about, not any trickery on his part. Verse 19. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks, and let them choose 1 bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the names of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose ye one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god, either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awaked. And they cried aloud, and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about at the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. It was at the time of the evening sacrifice that Elijah publicly prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and simply asked that God prove to all there that God was God. It was then that fire came from heaven and consumed the offering and vaporized the water. The people saw that the prophets of Baal got no response, even after supplicating all day. And with Elijah, God immediately answered his prayer at the time of the evening sacrifice. It was then that Elijah had the prophets of Baal killed. Verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. Ahab told Jezebel, his wife, all that Elijah had done, and she wanted Elijah to die, and promised to make it happen by the next day. She was bold enough to send a messenger to Elijah, and hearing the message, Elijah knew he needed to leave to preserve his life. God's angels helped Elijah with his escape along the way. 1 Kings 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Elijah faced evil with Ahab and Jezebel. Even though he knew Ahab wanted him, Elijah still did what God expected of him. And the death of the prophets of Baal, which was a public repudiation of the religious practices of the king and his wife, prompted Jezebel to seek death for Elijah. Because Elijah had already completed what God required of him, Elijah fled for his life with the assistance of God's angels. Even in dangerous times, God requires certain things of his people. And God also protects his people as it fits within his plan. During the time of the judges, Samson came to power and had incredible strength. No person or group of people could defeat him, because the strength came from God. Once, while he was in Gaza, there was a plot to kill him. But Samson destroyed the city gates and carried them away to a hill near Hebron. Judges 16, verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and rose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulder, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. It was then that he became romantically attached to Delilah. Samson saw her as a love interest, not understanding that she was being offered a huge sum of money by the Philistines to learn the secret of his great strength. Delilah could have been a faithful lover, but chose to sell out Samson because she valued money more than Samson. She tried very hard to pry the information out of Samson, and Samson would tell her lies. He told her being bound with 7 green withes that were never dried would take away his strength. And when he was asleep, she bound him, and then awoke him to tell him the Philistines were there. Immediately, Samson broke free. Delilah was upset that Samson lied to her. And somehow Samson either didn't see or ignored the idea that Delilah was trying to rob him of his strength. Samson then told her he really needed to be bound with new ropes that have never been used. When Delilah tried this, once again, the strength of Samson prevailed. Delilah even complained to Samson, and again Samson lied, this time about pins. Eventually, Samson gave in. Verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistine came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as other man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs, as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, The Philistine be upon thee, Samson. And he waked out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam, and with the web. Instead of leaving the company of a person trying to bring him harm, Samson stayed with Delilah and heard her prying requests every day to learn the secret of his strength. Eventually, Samson gave in and let her know his hair was never cut. That night as he slept, Delilah had his head shaved and all of his strength left. Verse 15. And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Samson was defeated and taken by the Philistines, who cut out his eyes and bound him with brass chains. As they celebrated the defeat of Samson, they had Samson brought to them so they could share the spoils of victory with those in attendance at the celebration. Verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Albeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice. For they said, Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me, that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. Samson prayed to God, asking that he be avenged for the loss of his eyes. God returned Samson's strength, and he used that strength to bring down two pillars supporting the roof. Samson died along with the Philistines, and those who died with him that night were more than he killed during his lifetime. Verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. From Samson, we can see that we need to be aware when a person seeks us harm. We can never discount the idea that money can be used to buy a person to be against us to seek us harm. Even though Delilah was a very attractive woman, through her actions, she embodied evil. Samson was given many signals of Delilah's evil intent. He thought he would never succumb to her brand of evil. With Samson, there was no command from God for Samson to challenge Delilah on her evil like there was with Elijah and Ahab. Just like Elijah ran from the evil that was Jezebel, Samson should have run from the evil that was Delilah. Sometimes evil comes packaged in deceptively pretty packages. Jesus came face to face with evil throughout his life because Satan sought to kill him before salvation could be offered to all. When he was just a few days old and dependent upon his parents, Herod decided to kill all the babies born in the area of Bethlehem. This decision came to Herod after he met with the chief priests of Jerusalem, after meeting with the wise men who came there from the east. After the wise men met Jesus, they thought it best to heed the warning of God that came to them in a dream that they return to their country without first returning to Jerusalem to provide Herod with the location of Jesus. Matthew 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. After the wise men departed, the angel of God appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him to take his family to Egypt, because Herod was seeking the death of Jesus. Joseph and his family immediately left and stayed in Egypt until after the death of Herod. Even though Herod sought the death of Jesus, God used this to fulfill the prophecy that out of Egypt he called his son. When Herod saw that he was mocked of the wise men who left without giving him the location of Jesus, Herod became very angry and killed all the children in the area of Bethlehem 2 years old and younger, fulfilling a prophecy recorded by Jeremiah. Verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not." Herod sought the death of Jesus, who would later die to pay for the sins of mankind, but as an infant, it was not now time for Jesus to die, and God had the family flee until the threat of death was over. Herod, Delilah, Ahab, and Jezebel were all people who committed evil. When people came face to face with their evil, what they did looked different based on circumstances. Elijah came face to face with Ahab and proved him and the prophets of Baal wrong, because this is what God wanted him to do. When Jezebel sought his death, God helped Elijah flee, as he did for Jesus when an infant. Samson came face to face with evil in a pretty form, and instead of fleeing from evil, allowed himself to be seduced by evil and paid with his life. We can never allow ourselves to be seduced by evil. Evil is always evil, and good is always good. We can never allow ourselves to call evil good and good evil. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drinks, which justify the wicked for a reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. In the Psalms, we are reminded of the need to keep from speaking evil. We are also told that beyond from fleeing from evil, we are to do good. With us, the absence of evil is insufficient. We must do good, remembering that God is against those who do evil. Psalm 34, verse 11. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The fear of God is to hate evil. Beyond evil, God also hates pride, arrogance, the evil way, and people who are difficult to deal with. Proverbs 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. When we face evil, the one thing we cannot do is return evil. When evil is done to us, we cannot repay evil and must continue with what is good. We must abstain from even the appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Peter reminds us not to repay evil for evil. We are not to even speak evil. We are to purposely avoid evil and do good, knowing that God is against those who do evil. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We are fighting a spiritual battle against the forces of evil and must put on the whole armor of God to withstand Satan's tricks. And his tricks are evil. We must be able to withstand the evil day by surrounding ourselves with truth, righteousness, being immersed in the knowledge of the gospel and the coming kingdom of God, living by faith, knowing salvation awaits us, and using the word of God as our spiritual weapon. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Romans tells us to have disgust and hate that which is evil while sticking to what is good. In all that we do as Christians, We never repay evil for evil. We also do not allow ourselves to be overcome by evil, but we overcome evil with good. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In life, we will come face to face with evil. We will face situations of evil like Elijah, who found himself facing evil that was backed up by an even greater evil. Like Elijah and Jesus, when facing evil, we may need to flee. We cannot allow ourselves to be overcome by evil, as was the case with Samson. When evil came to him in the person of a pretty woman named Delilah. When we come face to face with evil, we cannot allow evil to overcome us, and instead must overcome evil with good. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.